The universe is big. We're small. God may feel far away, but he's not. This is the You're Not Alone podcast, and I'm your host, Pastor Dave Andrus. This is podcast 317, titled Tragic, Really Tragic. I don't know if you knew, but I numbered them and have a title. It's usually up in the subject line. That's how you can find them also up on the website. Well, when I was coming up to about podcast 300, I thought to myself, oh, I know what I'm going to do for podcast 317. Based on John 3:17, one verse after the familiar John 3:16. It's familiar. It's a story. A modern-day story. Jim and Tom were firefighters sitting at the table, and Jim was telling Tom about his daughter who had won the spelling bee when it happened. The alarm went off, and they jumped up. They got into their gear and moved with the speed of a confidence of a well-seasoned firefighter. While in their gear, they slid down the pole and were at the truck in a matter of seconds. Off they went on the big red machine. When they got to their destination, that burning building, their hearts dropped. Flames shot up high, smoke billowed and swirled a couple hundred feet above the building. It was the local grade school. So they unwound their hoses and started dousing the already sagging structure with water. And as they worked, their spirit started to waver even more. It had a head start, and it didn't look like their efforts were going to stop or abate this fire. Jim and Tom were working near the front door, and then all of a sudden Jim chanced to glance back, hoping to see a crowd of little children standing by the road. And there were none. His heart dropped. They were trapped inside this deadly inferno. Jim shouted to Tom, "I'm going in. I think there's children inside." Tom shouted, "No, you're a fool. You'll never make it out alive." "I have to," he shouted back. And with that, he dove into the smoke and the flames where he thought the door had been. Next thing he knew, he was standing in the front hallway. He saw a door ahead of him through the smoke and to the right, and so he moved there and he reached the door, threw it open. Sure enough, there were kids still in the building. Most of them were still sitting in their chairs, doing nothing. Smoke had overcome a few. He shouted as loud as he could so he could be heard over the roar of the fire. "Come, follow me, and I'll get you out of here." He couldn't hardly believe what happened next. At the sound of his voice, they just looked at him, noticing him for the first time. Most of them just stared at him with vacant, gaunt eyes, except for one boy who sat back and waved. Obviously, he recognized him as a firefighter. But none of them moved. Jim again said, "Come on, follow me, I'll get you out of here." But they didn't do a thing. Then he heard a crash and a boom. The walls were starting to crumble. So he knew there was not much time. He got to do something. So he started up and down the aisles, moving the kids up from their chairs, grabbing them and putting them on their feet and shoving them towards the door that he had come in. His thoughts were that they could exit that door in the hallway and through the front hall. Even though it was full of fire, it was their only chance for safety. After shoving the last child towards the front door, he turned and expected to see 20 or so children standing there, ready to leave, and he was astounded. They had all gone and sat back down. There were only one or two huddled by the front door. He wasn't sure what to do. Boom! Then crash! The half of the ceiling caved in. He moved into action quickly. He grabbed a couple more, shoved them again, grabbed a couple as they squirmed out of his hands. So he grabbed a couple more and said, "Follow me!" And he moved through the door. And then, boom, the rest of the ceiling fell. They were through the worst of the danger, he thought. Why did they stay? Why did they stay? But he didn't ponder that very long, because they were still in danger, fire all around them. one of the children had just fallen down behind him. So he swept him up in his empty arm and said to the children, come on, let's go through this, what he pointed to, which was at one point the front door. But they cowered. It wasn't a wooden door familiar. It was a wall of fire. Jim again croaked out, follow me. He could barely get the words out because of the smoke. He dove through the smoke. One or two of the children followed, and he had the one limp child in his arms. He handed that one to Tom, and then he turned and went back in. He saw many of those children that he had chased out into the hall had went and back into their destructed grade school room. He grabbed those who were left. He said, I'll help you. Follow me. And some did and some didn't. Jim turned. He dove through the fire of the front door again with one or two children right behind him. And then crash, boom, the entire structure disintegrated behind him. It left only a burning pile of rubble where once stood the school. You know, people ask, how can a loving God punish people to hell? But they don't realize they're asking the wrong question. Instead, they should be asking the question, how can God love us so much that he could risk his life to save us? See, from God's point of view, we're in a crumbling, burning world, just like this story shows. He said before the fact, if we disobey him, you will surely die. And so it came. Now, we as human beings down here often think, you know, God is faced with a decision. Where is he going to place us? Heaven or hell? Whether we're good or bad or whatever we do. But that's not the case at all. Because we sinned, because of what we had done, we already were in hell. We already were in that fire. It was only a matter of time till our whole self would be finalized in hell. God knew he had to do something. And so, that's what he did. He entered the world. Then John 3:17 comes. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Did you hear that? God sent his Son not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. See, it's not a matter of where to send us. It's how can he rescue us from hell? And that's why Jesus came to earth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you gave your life, not just risked it, but gave it for us when you died on the cross, that you suffered all the punishment for us. Lord, help us to cling to you and not run away from you. Help us to follow you. Help us to see, even when the dangers of this world scare us and are around us, that our only safety is with you. Help us through the difficulties of this world to the next, which you have promised us. Lord, may we be a helpful hand to others, reaching out our hand to them so that they also may learn that you are a God that loves them, because you sent your Son into the world that they not perish but have everlasting life. We ask this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. You can write me at dave.andrus@not-alone.net. Thanks. I'm only an email away. dave.andrus@not-alone.net.